Welcome to Truth and Circumstances, where we apply the truth of God's Word to the difficult situations of real life. I'm Kyle Lamb, and with me is Greg Birdwell, preaching pastor at Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.
Okay, this is the second part of a question on boredom. I find myself bored sometimes, and I'm wondering what to do. Now, before we get into the second part of this, I want to remind everybody about the CSB Spurgeon Study Bible giveaway. We're giving a study Bible away to the person who asks the most compelling question. So if you want to know more about that, you can look at the website. You can look at the Providence Bible Fellowship blog. There's more details about that. All I will say at this point, I don't think I said it last time, the last day to ask these questions will be November 30th, and the following week we will announce a winner. We will find that person and get their mailing instructions and send them their very own Spurgeon Study Bible. I'm so excited.
Yeah, me too.
The best way to increase your odds of winning, to ask multiple questions.
Yeah, the next time you're bored, just come up with some questions.
Right.
Submit them.
Yeah, that's an excellent thing. We should add that to the podcast. So last time we addressed whether boredom is dangerous. We determined, yes, it actually is dangerous. We engage in all kinds of unhelpful, at least, and ungodly, at worst, behavior when we're bored.
Right.
So now we want to talk about what should we actually do when we're bored.
Right. So now that we've actually talked about the pitfalls of boredom, what should we do about it?
First of all, follow Jesus' example.
Yes. What a better place to start than at our Savior's feet. Jesus was without a doubt someone who lived life to the fullest. If there was anyone who knew what to do with boredom, it obviously was Jesus. So in John 4, we read about Jesus' encounter with the Samaritan woman, and I believe there's a lesson actually on boredom in there. And many of us have read this, and maybe you've thought, what? But keep listening. So listen to how his disciples react to the situation and then how he responds. And what I'm about to read is in John 4, verses 32 through 35. And this takes place after Jesus had already talked to the Samaritan woman and she had left to go back to the town. So the disciples show up on the scene after going to look for some food. And they come to Jesus and say, they ask him to eat. So meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him something to eat?" And Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Did you not say there are yet 4 months? Then comes the harvest. Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see the fields are white for harvest." So we all know the story pretty well, but I think it's possible that we've missed an application about contentment modeled in the Lord's life. So consider the disciples. Instead of asking him about this amazing and controversial encounter that they just walked in on, they start talking to him about food. But Jesus doesn't want it, so they scratch their heads, and they're probably thinking to themselves, does this guy have like a secret loaf hidden up his sleeve or something?
Right.
Like, did somebody come and feed him, as the verse says? When we were gone, did someone show up and like give him a meal? How's he not hungry? Then Jesus says something very helpful in response. He says, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." Jesus, who actually hadn't eaten anything, was content by doing the will of the Father.
Yeah, there's something about that passage that that would make you think that trip through Samaria, this is a freebie. This is free time. You know,
yeah.
Because Jews don't mess with Samaritans. You don't
right.
talk with them. And this should be an afternoon off for Jesus.
Mm, yeah.
He doesn't take it. So
right.
How does the Lord's statement there help us deal with our boredom, Kyle?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked. And again, his statement is, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." I think implicit in the statement is a promise that if we are busy doing the will of the Father as Jesus was here, we too will be nourished by that same food Jesus mentions. So joining in the work that Jesus started brings us satisfaction that destroys our boredom. Here specifically, we're encouraged to share Jesus with others as Jesus shared himself with the Samaritans. And think about it. Are you ever bored when you share the gospel? You're probably uncomfortable at times, but definitely not bored.
No, not bored.
Think of the last time you did something really meaningful, such as share the gospel. I can personally remember times that I forget to even eat because I was doing something that kept my full attention and actually gave me satisfaction. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we see. The disciples show up, and they're like, oh, he's got to be starving. Jesus has to be so hungry right now. And he's, nope, I don't want anything. And that's why they're just confused. He must have eaten something when we were gone. Mm-hmm. No, so when we join the Lord in his work, we partake of that food that he talked about. And I think what Jesus meant by food, this is my little definition of it, it's a source of life-giving, satisfaction-producing sustenance.
That sounds like a John Piperian phrase. Those hyphenated words. That's very good. Could you say that again?
Yes. The food that Jesus is talking about here is a source of life-giving, satisfaction-producing sustenance.
I like that.
We definitely know that he's not talking about actual physical food here. He's saying that what satisfies our longings at their core, and again, what is boredom? I gave a little definition to it of unfulfilled longings. Mm-hmm. So what satisfies our longings at their core is to obey God's commandments and join Jesus in his work by following his example, which, again, this is meaningful and satisfying work. Another passage that comes to mind that speaks so clearly to this, and Greg, we're going to be reaching this soon, maybe
I
in
can't
a
wait.
Few months, maybe.
Yeah, it's sooner than you think.
I'm sure.
Actually, by the time we air this thing, it may be that very week.
Hopefully.
Wouldn't that be strange?
It'd be great timing.
Yes.
Yeah, but this passage is John 14, verses 9 through 10. It says, "As the Father has loved me," this is Jesus speaking, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Jesus says, abide in my love. Not just know his love or know things about it, but actually abide in that love. He's saying to us today, if we keep his commandments, we will do just that. We will actually abide in the love of Christ. And I'm sure you'll agree, abiding in Jesus' love satisfies our longings and gives us lasting satisfaction that leaves no room for boredom and its resulting temptations.
Oh, absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. Okay, so first of all, we want to follow Jesus' example.
Yes.
Second, read your Bible, pray, and partake in Christian fellowship. That sounds familiar.
Yes, we talk a lot about this at Providence. It's that stool.
That's right.
Talking about that three-legged stool.
That's right.
Read your Bible, pray, and partake in Christian fellowship. I feel like this application snuck into several of our podcast episodes.
Right.
Yeah, but that's because it's so important.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. If you're bored in general, or even bored with the Christian life, one of the main reasons may be that you're neglecting one, two, or all of these. So let's talk about reading the Bible. What if the next time you didn't know what to do, you took that as an opportunity to read your Bible?
Yeah.
If you have time to be bored, you definitely have time to read the Scriptures. So often people, myself included, talk about not being able to find enough time to read the Bible. But if you have enough time to be bored, you have enough time to read the Scriptures. So the next time you're bored, rather than turning on the television, which, again, that can beget more boredom-inducing longings. Again, it's like when we're bored and we do things we shouldn't do, it just creates more craving mm-hmm. for these things that just prolong it, and they create more and more of that longing. I use the analogy of, like, wanting sugar. When I eat sugar, I want it all the time.
Yeah, there's not enough sugar in the world.
Not enough sugar. But I mean, it's the same thing. When I'm doing these entertainment, not all entertainment's bad, again. I don't want to paint that picture, but some of it just creates more of a longing for it, and it doesn't satisfy. It falls short of its promises.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
So sometimes, like when I'm bored, reading the Bible is like the last thing that appeals to me.
Sure.
It's the sugar of internet or TV or whatever that is what that boredom wants.
Right.
So what would you say to somebody about that if you're saying go into the Scriptures? Well, the Scriptures are the very thing that I think is going to make me even more bored. Mm. What would you say about that?
That's a great question. I've felt the same exact way. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it convinces me not to get into the Scriptures.
Yeah.
I will say that you'll find a lot of the time, if you get into the scriptures, you are completely wrong in thinking that way.
Yeah.
I mean, we have to spend time meditating upon it, savoring it, memorizing it, praying through it. And I'm not saying either that if you pick up your Bible and you start reading, instant gratification.
Right.
What I'm trying to really point out here is what we should do with our boredom.
Yeah.
Not these are, you know, easy go-to tricks to just make boredom vanish.
Right.
You know, if you're in the scriptures, you know you're using your time wisely. And I'll be, from personal experience too, the more you're in the scriptures, the more you will want to go to them, the more it will combat your boredom.
Right.
As you're spending the time in there reading it. And again, meditating upon it, filling your mind with it. I think some of us fall victim to just opening it up and just reading it mindlessly.
Yeah.
Just reading through it. Oh, I have nothing to do. Hopefully this will take care of that.
Right.
But we need to slow down. Maybe mm-hmm. chew on a text for a while. Think yeah. about it.
I find that when I'm in that place where the Bible really isn't tasty to me,
sure.
or and I find this with prayer too. If I just push into that wall, keep pushing and pushing and pushing and praying as I'm pushing, eventually I push through that wall,
yeah.
and then it's like I hit a second wind kind
right.
of thing.
Amen.
Like I just, and it usually doesn't take long. It's like a few minutes or something.
Right.
And then, wow, I'm really enjoying this.
Right.
It's just a few minutes of work.
Sure.
And then push through that
yeah.
difficulty and
right.
it's enjoyable.
Yeah, these applications aren't going to be immediate, like little pills you pop, and then
right.
boom, my boredom's gone.
Right.
Some of this is hard work. So, yeah, I talked about praying through the scriptures. Speaking of prayer, it's, again, another means to combat boredom. We don't pray enough. Some of us don't pray at all.
Right.
These last few years, in fact, I'm going to be honest here, I've gone through a very dry season of prayerlessness. And for me, and among other things, I found myself bored a lot during this period,
mm-hmm.
a lot more downtime, a lot more desiring things I shouldn't. I know I can't be the only one. There's no way.
No.
I can't be the only one that find themselves bored when they're not praying. I can't be the only one, too, that would admit that they've probably gone through some prayerlessness. I feel like that's a common experience among believers is mm-hmm. times of prayerlessness. Prayer will feed the bored soul and bring us into closer relationship with the living God. And that's like taking a wrecking ball to our boredom. And again, this doesn't mean as soon as you start praying, your boredom's going to be gone. I'm talking about an ongoing practice, habits of grace,
mm-hmm.
of praying. I'm telling you, that will have an effect on you. And obviously, pray about your boredom. If you find you're struggling with boredom a lot, pray about your boredom.
Mm-hmm.
Spend time praying and make sure to pray that the Lord would give you work to do, constructive work, opportunities, things to do in place of your boredom. Pray for opportunities to share the gospel. Pray for opportunities to serve other people. The Lord would be so happy to give you those opportunities.
Right. You know, I think about Psalm 119, which in my mind is a place where love for Scripture and prayer meet, because it's like David is going nuts over the Scriptures, and so he's drawn to pray about it. The last thing that you get from him in that psalm is that he's bored at all.
Right.
I mean, he is just passionate because
yes.
he's got these two things going on at the same time. He's in the scriptures and he's encountering God that's drawing him to pray and to pray about what he finds in the scriptures,
Amen.
To pray about what the scriptures are showing him about his own heart. He's not bored at all. I
right.
mean, he's using his time constructively and it's causing him to be drawn closer to the Lord. It's wonderful.
Right. Yeah, I think sometimes the reason scripture and prayer aren't appealing to us when we're bored is because we don't do it enough in the first place.
Yeah.
The more we're in these things, the more we see the joy-inducing things. It brings about happiness, joy. And again, I mentioned praying for opportunities to do constructive work. You'd be surprised. The Lord will give you opportunities to share the gospel, to love on another believer. And speaking of loving on other believers, getting into their life, where the other point was Christian fellowship, the other leg of that stool, Christian fellowship. And here again is another neglected but vital part of the Christian life. Got to ask, are we living life together with others? And I don't mean on occasion, but regularly. Are we regularly doing this? Are we sharing in the joys and struggles of life with others? And by others, I'm talking mainly about our church family.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that can include other believers in your life. But I'm thinking mainly of our church family. I bet many of us don't even know what others are going through. I bet you many of us don't even know their struggles.
Right.
Invite people into your home and love on them. Invite yourself over to their house. That's Ashley and I's favorite tactic. Right. Just, hey, invite us over. You going to invite us over? Why aren't you going to invite us over? We're going to bug you about it. We need to imitate Jesus in this. Pouring out our life to others in service, especially those who are going through tough times in life. I mean, recently, Greg, you preached through, I think it was John 13, maybe. Mm. Loving people when it's hard to love them. Mm-hmm. Finding someone who's going through some hard things and just inviting them into your life, joining them in their struggles, rejoicing when they rejoice, crying when they cry, doing these things. This is how we abide in the love of Jesus. This is how we live like he did. And again, bet you, and we know that Jesus probably experienced boredom because he was tempted in every way as we were, but he was the person we want to look to know how to deal with our boredom best.
Right.
And if we want to abide in his love, these are the kind of things we do. We join life together with other believers. Ashley and I have been blessed to spend a lot of time with a family in particular at Providence. I'll just say their names, the Nixes. We have spent a lot of time with the Nixes, and not just every once in a while, not just one time a week even. Sometimes it's multiple times a week. Like, it's we laugh about it, actually. Like, hey, you guys want to come over again? Well, we were just there yesterday. Like, I don't care. Just come over. And, I mean, it has been one of the most joy-inducing things of my life, actually knowing their struggles. Mm-hmm. They know our struggles. Mm-hmm. Living life with them, it's been amazing. It's been wonderful not just to have occasional fellowship, but ongoing fellowship. And Christian fellowship is not boring at all. And if it is to you, you're probably doing it wrong. You probably are.
Yeah.
Maybe you're not focusing in on asking hard questions about what are you guys going through. Mm-hmm. Can we be praying for you? Maybe you're not talking about spiritual things as much as you mm-hmm. should. Of course, there are room for other things. You're going to share hobbies and get to know them, but try to focus in on spiritual matters and focus in on what they're struggling and rejoice with them and weep with them. And as the verses go. We too often fail at doing the hard and sacrificial, yet highly beneficial and joy-inducing task of living life together with other believers.
Very, very helpful. I have found this to be very helpful, and thank you so much for this. We will see you later.
Yes, it was fun. I really enjoyed it.
Good.
Until next time.
Bye.
This has been Truth and Circumstances. You can visit our website at truthandcircumstances.com. If you have any questions you'd like to hear us address on the podcast, you can email those to questions@truthandcircumstances.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and ask your questions there. Truth and Circumstances is a ministry of Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.